At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. Verse 6. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." 10. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the doors were shut. 11. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his words. And I pray that all these songs of glory that we sing all the time, we shall be a part of it on the last day in the mighty name of Jesus. Our name shall never be found missing from the book of life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Say a better amen. Okay, brethren, let us pray. My Father, my God, I just want to say thank you. It is you who has made it possible for us to be alive this morning. So many people plan to be in your presence at this time. Even sitting by their TV, watching this program. But they are nowhere to be found. We that we have preserved is not because we are cleaner or we are better than them. It's just because of your grace. And so, Lord, we are pleading that you will never allow this grace to depart from us in the mighty name of Jesus. My Father, my God, let your word do something beautiful in the life of your children this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I present myself before you and I ask for sanctification. That as I say your word, Father, this word will not stand against me in the last day in the mighty name of Jesus. Let ears and hearts be open this morning as we hear your word in the mighty name of Jesus. Papa, let the kingdom of the devil be depopulated this morning as your word comes forth in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Like I said earlier on, today is day 7 in the month of June. And it's the first Sunday in the month of June. So therefore, it's a special day. It's a Thanksgiving day. But the title of my message to you this morning is, Are You a Christian? Part 1. But we are going to be looking at part 2 by the grace of God next week. Are you a Christian? If you look at that passage that we read, you might be surprised by the question I'm asking. Yes, you might ask yourself, what type of question is this pastor asking this morning? Do you know when I was born again? In fact, as at the time I gave my life to Christ, you as a human being, was still languishing in sin. But this question is vital at this point of our lives as children of God. Particularly when we look at what has been going on in this country. Who could have thought that Americans of all shade and color could go out to protest the killing of a common man, a black man for that matter, and in the midst of a pandemic? Some people also have lost their lives in the process of protesting peacefully when the protests were hijacked by criminals and looters. What this translated to is that anybody can be called up at any time. We have no power over our own lives. And the Bible is very clear. From the passage we read, Matthew 25 verse 13, said, therefore keep watch, because we do not know the day or the time. We do not know the day or the hour we might be called home. I remember when one of our ministers in the sister church died suddenly through a vehicular accident last year. Everybody was asking, why should this happen? But our zonal pastor came and told us, brethren, nothing surprises God. He created us. He knows our being. He knows what we didn't know. Out of the five secrets about death, only one is revealed to us as human beings. And that one that is revealed to us is, we all know we will die. But the remaining four has been kept secret by God up to this day. When? We don't know. Where? How? What type of death will take us away remain unknown to us. Who then is a Christian? Will I make heaven if it happens right now? Am I sure of eternal bliss? Hear what a pastor blogger wrote on the internet during the week. His name is Henry Omotayo, and I think he resides in Canada. He said, imagine driving a long trip, and at nightfall, you see a road sign saying, next gas station is 5 miles. No gas station for the next 200 miles. Look at the gas gauge, and it's almost to a quarter. But you couldn't be bothered to stop to fuel your car, to gas your car, because you are enjoying the journey, and any attempt to stop will reduce your energy to drive. So you continue driving the next 100 miles, and the driving is smooth, no problem. But you look at your gas gauge again. At this time, it becomes very clear to you that your tank will not carry you for another 100 miles. What will you do? Will you park by the roadside and start waving to passing vehicles to stop and draw some gas from their tanks? He went further. So the Christian journey does not only require faith, it requires common sense. It abhors carelessness and recklessness. It demands that we do not deliberately take some decisions that will ridicule our Christian way of life. That we do not do things that will make people to call our Christianity to question. Our journey does not support gambling, because gambling itself is a sin. It is the opposite of faith. However, many so-called Christians are gambling with our faith and believe in Jesus. How? What do you think will have happened if Elisha was distracted in the final days of Elijah on earth? He had been servant to Elijah, and on sensing that the Lord was about to take his master away, he wanted a double portion of his anointing. Assuming that he got distracted or joked with such incredibly spiritual matter, like the other sons of the prophets, what would have been said of Elisha in the Bible? I want you to read after the service, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 to 18. Stay here, Elisha often told Elisha, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel, or to Jericho, or to Jordan. But Elisha always responded, as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. As hard as what he has from Elijah was, he got it because he was tenacious and would not take a no for an answer. In that passage that we read, Jesus gave the parable of 10 virgins who were waiting for the arrival of the bridegroom. They were born again. They were spirit-filled. But 5 of them were wise. By taking their lamps with oil filled, their lamps already have oil, then they have other vessels that was also filled with oil. And they also have extra. 5 were foolish by taking their lamps only without extra oil as they waited. And they all fell asleep. While their lamps continued burning, then suddenly the unexpected happened. The Bible says in verses 6 to 10, that passage, Matthew 25, verses 6 to 10, and at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our oils are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. May the door of salvation never be shut against us in the mighty name of Jesus. May the doors of prosperity never be shut against us in the mighty name of Jesus. May the doors of opportunity never be shut against us in the mighty name of Jesus. This is what I said at the beginning of the sermon. As a Christian, you bear Christian name. It is more than that. For us to be able to go with Christ, we must also be wise. We must not gamble with our Christian life. Don't be like that man on the journey. 200 miles is the next gas station. He looked at his tank. It's just quarter time. And because he was enjoying the ride, he said, let me continue. And he continued for another 100 miles. Looking at his gauge, discovered that the gauge was empty. And he still has 100 miles to go. He gambled with the journey. May you not gamble with your Christianity in the mighty name of Jesus. In our world today, many of us Christians are beginning to live our lives like the foolish virgins. Are we behaving today as though Christ will not come in our lifetime? That Christ will not come in our generation? We are acting like the generation of Noah. When this was Noah's warning, people paid no attention until the flood came. See Genesis chapter 6 and 7. Aren't we already agreeing with the world who says there is no such thing as the return of Jesus to rapture? Aren't we beginning to gamble with our Christian journey like the hypothetical example I gave at the giving, at the beginning of this sermon? Look at what the angels told the disciples of Christ when Christ was lifted up. Acts of Apostles chapter 1 verse 11. The men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. So here's what Jesus told John in Revelation chapter 22 verse 7. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of this prophecy of this book. So as God's children, it is upon us not to be distracted by the world around us. Let us hold tenaciously to our faith. Titus 2:13 remarked, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. The question this morning is this. How many of us are still expectant of his coming? Are you ready? Are you a Christian at all? Or you have completely lost faith in the whole show? Are you a Christian or you are just a churchgoer? Or are you part of the so-called Christian denomination that is saying Christ is not coming back again? Remember the case of John when he was baptizing and people were going to him. The religious leaders of the day sent messages to him to ask him, are you the one to come? I want you to see John 1, the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 23. When you get home, you read it. Or after this sermon, just read it and meditate. He answered them by telling them who he was not. I am not the one you are expecting. I myself is expecting him. I am not the Savior. I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. make straight the way of the Lord? As a Christian, are you making straight the way of the Lord? I want you to examine yourself this morning. Make necessary adjustments. Next week, by the grace of God, we shall be looking at the characteristics of a Christian and see whether we are making straight the way of the Lord or not. I pray that God Almighty will bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. My Father and my God, the question we are asking ourselves this morning, you are the only one who has the answer. Father, answer us in the mighty name of Jesus. The question is, am I a Christian? Can we call those five virgins who were foolish Christians? Because they missed heaven. By the time the bridegroom came, they were nowhere to be found. Because they were foolish. Lord Almighty, I pray that as your children, foolishness will be far away from us. In the mighty name of Jesus. I pray we will no more gamble with our Christianity in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord Almighty, one great characteristic of a child of God, a Christian, is to be born again. But there are so many professed born-again Christians today who can be classified as these foolish virgins. Lord Almighty, I pray, open our eyes to be wise in the mighty name of Jesus. Open our hearts to be wise in the mighty name of Jesus. Never to gamble with this race anymore. On this Thanksgiving Sunday, O Lord, we pray. And we thank you for what you have done, for keeping us. Lord Almighty, when we begin to hear the characteristics of who is a Christian, come next Sunday, Lord, I pray you will have prepared our hearts in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wherever you are, praise the Lord.